Character, a podcast about anything and everything witchy from a practitioner and non-practitioner point of view. I'm Zoe, and I'm a witch.
I'm Andrew. I'm not.
You ready?
I'm ready. What's today?
Okay. Well, at the beginning of every episode, we go over a tarot card in no particular order, what Andrew's initial interpretation is of the card, and then I give mine as a tarot reader.
Are we actually going to do that today?
We are actually going to do that today. So, today I have for you the Seven of Pentacles.
Whoa.
So, this is a minor arcana card, and it depicts in a traditional Rider-Waite-Smith deck a man leaning against a hoe. Great for the childness. Okay. And they are gazing down at the abundant crop, and their face is a bit fatigued.
Yeah, that's a lot of work going on. Hoeing up seven pentacles. He's got like a pile next to him. He's like, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. This is a different deck, by the way. This is not the standard Rider-Waite-Smith deck. This is
black
and gold.
Yeah, I couldn't find my regular standard.
It so just means I don't have a lot of the color references. I'm assuming his shirt is white or light blue. Is that what the pentacles are in? Is that like a hay pile or like
no,
a cloud?
Like green vines growing.
So that almost seems like they weren't harvested, but they've been grown over. Like he's got a lot of work ahead of him. Yeah, the thing I'm getting from this is that it's a lot of work. And he's like weary, kind of, or like you said fatigued, but I'd almost like take it in the other direction of like sadness, almost. I don't know. With this black and gold, it's hard to read the facial expressions. It's a lot of work.
Okay.
A lot of work. A lot of pentacles to hoe up. That's it. No sun in the background. Nothing to look forward to. Just a pile of pentacles.
Okay. And if this card came up for you in a reading, what do you think that it would be indicating?
I think it would depend on what it's around. It's either that you have a lot of work ahead of you or you've just done a lot of work.
So traditionally, this card indicates sustainable results, perseverance, and like making an investment.
Sure.
He looks fatigued from working hard.
With that hoe.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the crops are abundant and it's like an invitation to like step back and kind of see like the full picture. Cause he's been like so busy doing like the nitty gritty daily like farm chores essentially.
Right.
He's forgetting to like step back and be like, whoa, like look at this. It's like boomed. And so it's just about finding like that long-term view.
I feel that. Okay.
In reverse, we can find an indication of frustration with like those slow results and not being grateful. And just kind of, again, that reminder to focus on the present.
Yeah. His pile of pentacles is going to fall down and make a big mess.
It's all
right.
Over
so
the
it's
place.
Like you have something, but now like you're expecting it to fail.
Yeah. Our main topic. So we're going to talk about warding today.
Yes, like in League of Legends, when you put a ward in the jungle or like the river so you can see them coming up.
I have no clue.
It's for vision control.
Okay.
Yeah, or you're talking like wards like in D&D, where you can place a ward that's got like some sort of trigger ability. Like, when somebody that's not undead steps into this room, it casts a web spell.
Yeah, kind of.
And it sticks them there.
Yeah,
okay.
Kind of.
Got it.
So, we've talked a lot about, like, I guess, I don't think we've had, like, a whole episode just on cleansing, but we've talked about cleansing enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so, cleansing is creating that clean slate, that, like, neutralization of energy. So, this would be your next step, because now we need to fill that space
yes.
with the energy that we would like. Otherwise, it's just kind of like sitting there being like, I don't know, whatever comes along. And that's not to like scare you and be like, oh, if you don't do anything after you cleanse, you're just going to invite evil in.
It's like in the Spider-Man Wii game when you clear out like one crew and then it's like, sweet, we did it. And then another crew just moves in. Like you clean them out and then it like just opened the space for someone else to take over.
Yes.
But we want to take over.
Yes, but my point is that I'm not trying to scare you. If you don't do anything after your cleansing, you're not immediately inviting in evil or darkness or whatever you want to call it. My point just is that it makes more sense and it's more productive to...
Then ward the space rather than do another cleansing.
Then invite the energy that you are looking for in, like, yeah, being specific. And that specific next step that's really great is warding.
Yeah.
So what is warding?
I think I've already pretty much covered all of our bases.
Yes. So it's creating an energetic barrier around you, your space, your home, or an object to turn away negative and unwanted energies.
Does it need to be turning away negative energy? Could it just be turning away unwanted energy?
Negative or unwanted energies.
Cool. Cool. Yes.
So wards aren't impenetrable. It's not like you can put up a ward and it's like just that glowing bubble that's going to like bonk everything off of
it. Right. Yeah. It's a layer of protection, but it's not like, yes, invulnerable.
Because the big thing is that if someone you live with or someone that you invite in, they can bring in that unwanted energy because outside influences are really easily carried in. So that's just kind of the reminder to that, like, it doesn't just end when you create the ward. You have to be constantly, not constantly, I don't want you to obsess about it, but you have to check, you have to charge, and you have to reset your wards.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a pet you take care of.
Yeah, like in Bluey when the terriers were protecting the castle.
Okay.
Right? Like, you have, like, when you set it up, it's not done. You still have to, like, be vigilant and protect
it. Yeah. It's like a pet.
Yes.
There is a book called By Rust of Nail and Prick of Thorn, and they describe wards as shutting the door and locking it against intruders. And I just love that description.
Because you could always unlock the door and accidentally invite intruders in, like vampires.
Yes, sure.
Yeah. It's so, not impenetrable, but it's a really good first step.
Exactly. There's a ton of different ways to ward, and we would be sitting here forever. I'm going to try to give a generalization of some of the different ways.
So give me the generalization and then your top two favorites.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start with chimes.
Are you just going for your favorites now? Or are you?
No.
Okay, this is the generalization.
Generalization. So different ways to ward. So chimes, like windmills.
Wind chimes.
Yeah. There we go. That's a really great way to like break up stagnant energy. And they're inconspicuous. And bells in general are just like often used to like dispel and like break up that energy. So you can have them outside or even inside and people wouldn't be like, that's weird. Because that's a really like common thing about wards is that it's inconspicuous.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that are round that not necessarily somebody would come and be like, excuse me, I see that. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm. And then they smudge it and screw it all up.
Yeah, see, we don't want that.
No. But with your wind chimes, you could tie that together with your knot magics.
Exactly.
You can work a lot of stuff together with that.
Exactly. And even we talked about a witch's ladder.
Yes.
You could put bells within your witch's ladder and that could be set up as a ward.
Yep.
And that could be hung up by your door or on your porch, whatever.
Mm.
Okay. So I'm going to say that this is definitely one of my favorites, and that's plants. And that can be broken up into a couple of different ways, like we could go herbal and have just the herbal correspondences. And there's a bunch of different things like hanging up garlic in your kitchen, like the strings of garlic. But I'm going to go in the different direction. I'm going to talk about houseplants. Yeah.
I know what they are. I'm aware of those things.
I feel like this is like magic that's really overlooked. And honestly, it could be like a whole episode on its own. But I'm not going to go that deep.
It'll be an episode next week.
This is going to be the quick and dry of houseplants. Because houseplants and humans have an active partnership. A human has to take care of the plant. You have to water it. You have to trim it. You have to find it the proper light. Like, it can't move itself. You have to be taking care of it. And in exchange, it filters your air. It it's really nice decoration.
It looks nice.
It gives you love back. And it can ward your home, essentially, because it is a spirit.
Sure. Okay. I feel that.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
It's super versatile and simple. Like, a potted plant is super easy peasy, as long as you can keep it alive.
Interesting.
Which can be.
So does that mean when it dies that your ward has expired and you need to replace it with a new ward? Like, or is that just a negligence?
Okay, I think that's that kind of like iffy thing. So I feel like if you take care of plants and you're really good at it and they've been alive for a really long time and you have this one plant and say it's like booming all the time and all of a sudden like it just dies out of nowhere, I would probably look into that. If you often buy plants and then they last like the month that like they have been there and then you never actually got it to do anything past that and they just kind of always die, I feel like that's a you thing and not really an energetic thing.
I feel that. Okay. Yes. Pointing fingers. Good.
Stop.
You know who you are.
I mean, again, like as long as you keep them alive, you can really use any plant. There are certain plants that have specific correspondences. One is snake plants.
Yeah, we have snake plants. That's so old.
We do. We do have a lot of really old snake plants.
Like hundreds of years old.
Yes, I love my snake plants. But so a snake plant is a really good one. Another one that you might read about is like English ivy.
Mm-hmm.
It's known to people love those.
Isn't that part of like the wedding thing?
That's my family's tradition.
Okay.
But other people see like English ivy as like it traps like stagnant and unwanted energy within its vines, and then you can trim its vines and that gets rid of that ickiness.
Gotcha.
Essentially. So, you know?
Yeah.
Plants. Let me think. Crystals and stones is another big one. You'll read about like obsidian. People will put obsidian by their front doors or even create like full-on crystal grids within their whole house.
That's something we should do.
And they'll use the different correspondences of the crystals within that. But you can go as simple as like wrapping twine around a stone and adding charms to it, writing or painting a sigil on a stone. They're easy to hide, and even if it's out in the open, it's still kind of like an inconspicuous thing. Nobody's going to be like, that rock.
Yeah, you say, that's my rock. Don't touch my rock.
Something else that you might read about are like witches' bottles. So there's spell bottles. Witches' bottles are often used more as like kind of like a decoy. And they're usually placed outside of your home.
To scare the people away.
This is where you're going to find more of your like traditional, and I'm going to put air quotes around traditional, warding. And so that's going to be like pee, fingernails.
Just like when you don't want people coming near you.
Shards of glass, kind of like a bottle of ick. Just think of like a bottle of ick.
Yeah, that's gross.
Okay. But the concept is that it would be a decoy that would be like attracting, because those are parts of you that's, and the energy, think if it's like malice energy, it is looking for you. And so then it goes to the bottle.
You don't hide those bottles in our front yard, do you?
That's none of your business. Anyways.
Okay.
A simpler version of that I do like to share often is sea glass. And that's keeping a jar of sea glass on your altar or by your bedside. Or just any broken glass in general. I just really like sea glass.
It's very pretty.
Yes. But that's a nice filter for your energy, you know?
Yeah, people use sand filters. I've never heard of a glass filter, but it's both silica.
But then as the energy goes through your jar, this...
Sure. Yes, yeah, yeah. And like, you get really nice like colors in there.
Of energetic.
Yes, there you go. Shards of broken glass of filter.
There you go. Which kind of leads you into charms. Charms are really awesome for wards because they passively affect the energetic flow around them. So it's more about long-term, slow, sustainable effects compared to if you were like putting up an energetic bubble in that moment, or your even your cleansing properties and stuff like that. Those are more in that one moment.
Gotcha. So is that why people wear charm bracelets? Is that like a self-ward?
Yeah, people can definitely do that. And because a charm can ultimately be created from anything. It is more of an act.
Oh.
Charming something.
Like the plastic penguin I have in my backpack? Is that a charm?
No. I have no clue. No clue what you're talking about.
I have a little penguin in my backpack.
Okay.
Could that be considered a charm?
You could charm your little penguin, yes.
I could charm the penguin, yeah.
Yes, you could. People charm rings. People charm all sorts of different things.
Brass knuckles to really keep people away.
Sure. A good example of a common, like, home ward charm is a horseshoe.
We have one of those. Maybe two.
Okay.
I can't give away your secrets. People are going to know. Oh, no.
These are all very common things. Yes. We don't need to share all of my home wards.
Right. Yeah, like your pee bottles out front.
Anyway. horseshoes above the door or crossed iron nails.
I've seen those too.
Both really great charms.
Yeah.
A horseshoe can also act as like gatekeeping ward, and it determines like what is and isn't allowed into the home. Both of those things are connected to iron.
Yeah.
And iron has like a long history of protection. It kind of works like a lightning rod in a sense. It gathers that unwanted energy and it dissipates it into the earth.
Okay.
So another one that you've probably heard of are railroad spikes.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, railroad
spikes. But I know what they are.
Yes. And it works very similarly to, like, you've seen coffin nails here. But they're much larger.
Yeah.
They can be inconspicuous because you can put them into the ground.
You drive them into the ground?
Yes.
Got you.
Yes.
So how many of those do we have outside?
And then again, two spikes crossed to make an X, not a cross, an X, and put above your door is a really great home ward. If you don't have access to railroad spikes or they're just too large, because they are.
Yeah, and you don't want them over your head, like when you're walking through the door. I feel like that could be bad.
No, it's all on your head. I feel like it would be a sign. Bring that nasty energy mask.
That you're dead.
But coffin nails or iron nails are often used in the place of railroad spikes. Only a couple small, actually, I only have two left.
Okay. Are these your top two?
No. My top one was plants.
I figured.
And then this is my next favorite, and that's black salt.
Ah, yes. I know black salt.
Yeah.
It's salt mixed with black.
Yeah.
Like ash.
Sure. Yes. It's commonly, everybody's recipe for black salt is going to be different. Commonly you see, because every practitioner is different, so it's gonna
It's what means something to them,
probably.
Okay.
But your bases are usually going to be like ash from your spells or charcoal or
what about activated charcoal?
Some people like they get like the rust and the ash off of their like cast iron.
Gross.
Or like the spent up incense ash that can also be mixed
all
in.
All the ash things.
Yeah. And then some people add herbs like cinnamon or
they hide outside the
rosemary.
Church on Ash Wednesday and just rub people's foreheads and steal their ash.
There you go.
That sounds
witchcraft. But that black salt, and then you can use that as like a barrier across your thresholds or at your windows. You can even mix it with water and use it to create sigils.
We talked about that in one of our episodes.
Exactly.
About sigils and why we have sponges on our windows.
Thank you for that.
Yep.
And sigils are, again, another really great way for you to ward your home or your person or another person, creating that sigil for protection.
Is that what Ash Wednesday symbolizes? Is that a ward? It's ceremonial.
So kind of building off of sigils, because I'm not going to go into sigils because we have talked about them. And so, yes, you can create a sigil for protection. One step further is something called a servitor.
Yeah. You can make those as an arcanist. Shoot. Come on, Chris. screwing me up. It's a caster class in D&D, and they can make servitors.
Okay. Well,
they're the little things that do stuff for you, like servants.
Sure. Kind of. Yes. Yes.
Alchemist.
Okay.
I think alchemists can do that.
So if you've ever read Six Ways by Aiden Watcher, they do a really great job at explaining like what a servitor is. It's kind of like creating a sigil, but it's focusing on tasks rather than the outcome. So mm-hmm. I'm not creating the sigil for like, I am protected. It's instead calling in, I wouldn't call it controversy, but there is debate about whether or not when you create a servitor, if you are creating the spirit or if you are calling in a spirit that feels like it will gain something from this relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So however you get it, either you believe you created it or you believe you called it, you now have this spirit and it feels like it gains something from the relationship by doing this task for you.
Right.
And so it does the task for you. The hard part, I would say, about a servitor is that kind of like a pet or a workhorse is that they can get into trouble.
Oh.
Because they get bored easily and they want like a job to do. And so if you're not giving them that energy and giving them that job and that attention, they'll get into trouble. It's like a toddler.
Yeah. I know them. They do that.
Exactly.
Even when you give them a task to do, they just still get in trouble.
Yes. And so you want to make sure you're rewarding their work, give them treats, give them work. And then when they've completed their task, either giving them a new task or finding a way to release them in the proper way of, like, not being a dick about it.
Right. Yeah, don't mush them.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
Don't mush them. And there you go. You order. I feel like that was mostly focused on, like, your home because.
Yeah. But there's also a lot of those you can apply to your person.
But yes, you can apply those to your person. You can apply those to your loved ones. A lot of those things you can carry with you. Charms. And sigils and rocks and
love rocks.
You can carry a plant. When I was in college, I had a plant that like specifically lived in my cup holder.
Yeah, car plant.
Yeah, loved car plant.
Yeah.
Then I needed the cup holder back.
Yeah, buy car plant.
So, wards.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Awesome.
I like wards. They're cool.
Sweet.
Not like the things I was talking about.
Oh.
Well, I mean, they are for protection, so I guess you got that. So.
And you understood servitors.
Yeah.
So
I still don't think I got the right D&D class. I'll figure it out later.
I wouldn't know. Are you ready to do correspondence?
I will correspond with you.
Woo! Give me a number.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I don't know how to say that word, so you get a different one. I don't know that one either. Eyebright.
Eyebright? What is it?
A plant.
We were just talking about plants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Judging by the name, I think that it's easy on the eyes.
I have no clue.
I don't know. Bright eye. Vigilance, I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that. I just finished
maybe
reading,
protection?
Yeah, I just finished reading the Evil Eye book, and I feel like Eyebright, we're going to go with protection here.
Yeah, I feel like more often than not, it's protection. It's a safe bet.
You know. Oh, okay, here it is. It's got purple.
Purple is a royal color.
It's also like road opening and clearing blockages. So like, yeah, protection and like perseverance.
Sure. I think those are good ones. What does it say?
Clairvoyance. Oh, that makes sense. Purple. Third eye.
Eye.
Duh.
That's what we said.
Clairvoyance, clarity, divination, dream work, insight, memory, psychic ability, the senses, skills, truth, visions. You know? connected with air. Eye bright.
Nice.
Also known as meadow eye bright.
Interesting.
Or red eye bright, which I feel like is red. And so then, I don't know. Do you have a fact for us?
Not really a fact, but something that's been, like, monopolizing my time recently.
Okay.
The algorithm. The social masters of algorithm have pinpointed me, and I've been inundated with videos and articles of how to install a downspout system.
What?
And I have spent hours looking into this. And I think I've got a pretty good handle on it.
Okay.
First, I need to get a 45 degree Y so I can use a clean out that'll go at the bottom of the downspout, right? And then I'll go down to a 90 that'll then go under the ground, not in a perforated pipe. Speaking of perforated pipes, I was looking into perforated pipes recently because there's different patterns of perforated pipes. There's class 1 and class 2. Ashto okay. class 1 perforations are just holes on the bottom third of the pipe.
Ashto, don't you do stuff with Ashtoware?
I do. That's different, but this is similar. But the class 2 perforations, the ones that are recommended, they have cuts all the way around the pipe. Because the way that a perforated pipe works is that it goes in the ground with rocks around it.
Yes.
And then you don't want the water to fall in the top. You want the water to percolate up from the bottom and then go into the holes. So that's how they work. And then it's just an extra channel to go. Anyway, with the downspout system, you do not want a perforated pipe unless you're tying into a French drain.
Okay.
So the idea is that it comes out and then I'm going to put it into like a cross T, like four ways with a catch basin at the top so that I can use the bottom as like a settling tank. So like all the debris will kind of fall into this little hole at the bottom I make and I can clean that out if I need to, but then it won't clog up the pop-up at the end. And then the whole reason that it works is just like water pressure. So like you've got pressure head at the top coming down. And even though that this pop-up is at ground elevation, it's still going to have enough pressure to equalize and push the water out. And then at the end of the rainstorm, any water that's left in, there's a little hole at the bottom of the outfall end that's going to let the water percolate out and then into like a stone bed underneath.
Huh.
Yeah. People put a lot of thought into this.
Seems like you've put a lot of thought
into this. I have put a lot of thought into this.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think I've got it pretty well down.
Interesting.
Now I have to figure out is if I want to use a 4-inch pipe or a 3-inch pipe. 3-inch pipe is cheaper and it's sufficient. But we've got two downspouts I want to tie in. So 4-inch pipe might make more sense. Still working these things out. Don't you worry.
Okay.
We'll get it sorted. Yeah. So anyone, if you want to either go through this adventure with me on installing a downspout apparatus or whatever it's called.
Can you start a YouTube channel?
I could link you to a lot of videos. I've watched hours. Trust me. I'm ready.
You're a professional.
Yeah. Not really a fun fact. Not yet. Not until I tell you how it goes.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening to our full episode. Next week is our mini-sode where we're just going to rant and rave about things. Get it? Rave of the grave?
Yep. Probably about the algorithm. Just sending me downspout stuff for the next week.
Love it. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Maybe we'll talk about stones. Love me a good rock.
Until next time. Bye.
Later, Gator.